Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
We live in a world that does not know God, yet God commands and expects His people to live in an upright, honest, moral, and godly manner in and throughout the course of our life. Yet at the same time, as we look at the world that we are a part of, we find is that it is very challenging. Why? Because as we look at the world that does not know God, the world does not live according to the high standards of our God, according to godliness. And in that, we find is that they're willing to do and to say anything that will further their cause, that will be for their personal gain. In all of this, we find is that the majority of the world will participate in lies. And it's interesting as you consider the lies that people will be caught up in, is that they will tell so many lies that they will find is that they're eventually caught up in a web of lies. How does God feel about lying? How must you and I, as members of the Lord's church, view lying? And what must be our stance as we go in and throughout the course of our life here? Good people, we learn in the home that we are to teach and to train our children according to honesty. And any good and godly parent will make it their goal to make certain that they educate their children concerning the standards of God, but not only concerning the standards that God has laid down, but also how that it is important for them, if they choose to be and if they desire to be an upright and honest citizen here in the United States, that they must live in honesty. And we must do all that we can in our homes to train our children to be upright and honest individuals. As parents, we expect honesty in the home. We expect them to be honest, our children, as they go out into society, but also as we deal with them in the home, we expect our children to be upright and honest with us and the parents. We deserve honesty, amen? We deserve our children to be forthright. We deserve our children to be honest with us in all things, to be fully transparent. In all of this, we understand that if and when times come when the children are not honest with one another, we realize is that there's going to be disciplinary actions. We demand and we enforce honesty in the home. Good people understand not only in the home do we find the need for honesty, also in our society. People insist on truthfulness out and about each and every day. People expect honesty amongst every individual that they come in contact with, everyday acquaintances in life. Also, we understand that in the business world, employees expect their employers to be honest with them. And the employers expect, in like figure, their employees to be honest with them. And good people, this is what makes a company strong and keeps it growing even in a weak economy. In all of this, also, we realize from a court standpoint, from our legal system, we realize that in our courts, absolute honesty is expected. God has given us our rulers who rule over us, and as a result of that, they are to lead according to the standards of God. And I'm saddened as I stand before you today to say that in most cases, I do not believe that this is the case in our age. But in all of this, we realize that if and when they are doing is what God commands them to do, and as then you and I from time to time might be called as a witness or might be called as a juror, we must be honest. We must make certain that we deal with things, that we deal with people in an upright and honest manner. From God's Word, we realize that the Bible is indeed the truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14, identifies concerning all of God's message that indeed it is the truth. And what type of truth is conveyed in and throughout the New Testament Scripture? Good people, we understand. As Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." God's Word is the truth, and it is the truth that is able to set man free from the guilt of sin and the consequences of sin. Also, we understand from the Bible is that Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6, "No man comes unto the Father except through Jesus Christ our Lord." And during the course of our Lord's life here, we understand that Jesus taught the Lord's will. And during the course of His time here, Jesus taught nothing but the truth. He knew the will of our Father. And good people, Jesus never swayed in any direction. Jesus' words never went then varied in any way as to our God's will and the truthfulness in all situations or matters. What we find in regard to Christ is that Jesus taught all truth during the course of His life here. Christians now are required to know the truth. You and I must make certain that we spend our lives, our pursuit in life must be to know our God. And in knowing God, we come to know God through His Word, the truth. And not only to know the truth, but in like figure to live according to the truth. In every standard that God has laid down, good people, you and I owe it to ourselves, we owe it to the church, we owe it to the world to make certain that we are educated in regard to the standards of God, but not only that we have a knowledge of what God commands, but then in like figure that we live according to those standards, that we make the application to our everyday walk of life. In the Old Testament Scripture, how do we know in regard to the way in which God feels concerning lying? Good people, in the Old Testament, we learn is that God condemned Israel if they would bear false witness. In fact, we understand, as is given in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, that they were commanded in the Ten Commandments that they were not to bear false witness. In all of this, we understand, as is taught in the book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 9, that the Lord detests lying lips. Well, what is a lying lips? Good people, lying lips come from those individuals who are willing to participate in lies. How does God feel in regard to this? The word detest there helps us to understand, as is also taught in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, that the Lord hates. God hates. Is there anything that God hates? Most certainly there is. And it's all forms of ungodliness. In the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, we understand that there are seven things that are mentioned here that are detestable, that are an abomination before the Lord. And lying is a part of those things. Good people, in the Old Testament, God identifies for us that those who breathe out lies will indeed perish. In the context as it is given there in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22, they may perish in regard to society. That is that their lies will certainly be found out during the course of their life and they may suffer consequences at that given time. But also, as we consider the context and the overall context as to how God feels about lying, these people will perish whenever they stand before God in judgment because of their dishonesty. In the New Testament, we also understand concerning our God that it is impossible for Him to lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. What does it mean that it's impossible for God to lie? Good people, it is not characteristic of God to lie. It is not of His nature to be involved in lying. And certainly, whenever we consider the context of the overall Scripture then, it helps us to understand that we have the truth and nothing but the truth that has been delivered by our God. But also we understand, as we've already briefly touched upon, is that Jesus Christ is the epitome of truth. Good people, when we look at Jesus and the teachings of Christ, the life examples of our Lord and Savior, we are looking at the truth. We are looking at God developed in the flesh, living amongst mankind for the purpose not only of giving man God's message unto eternal salvation, not only giving man a means of salvation whenever he died upon Calvary's cross, but giving us an exemplary life in regard to what it means to live according to the truth and nothing but the truth. Jesus Christ is indeed the epitome of everything that truth represents. The Bible also tells us that we are called to be holy like God. What does it mean that we are called to be holy and to be like God? Good people, in no sense are you and I ever able to measure up to God. But yet at the same time, the Bible calls upon us, commands us to understand the high standards of God, but also to examine in full measure or nature who God is and what He is about, and to allow this to be our mark in and throughout the course of our life here, and to do all that we can to live as what God would have us to live. God is holy, and He expects us to be holy as He is holy. but also we as Christians are commanded to live our lives like Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. We cannot participate in the things that the world has to offer. Anything that is ungodly, anything that would destroy our relationship with God, we need to be aware of that and to heed the warnings that God spells out in and throughout the New Testament Scripture concerning these things that are ungodly. And lying most certainly is a part of what the world has to offer. And Jesus, because He is truth and because He lived His life according to truth, in like figure then, you and I must seek to live our lives as close to Christ as what we possibly can. In fact, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, He says, "He that saith he abides in Him ought also so to walk even as He walked." It's not enough to claim to be a Christian. To people, Christianity must indeed be who we are. It must be a part of everything that we say and do in and throughout the course of our time here. Satan is out to ruin us. In fact, the Bible identifies for us that he's able to transform himself into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. He's able to transform himself into that, from that which is evil, corrupt, ungodly, and to present himself in the form of good and godliness. And in all of this, not only is he transforming himself, in like figure, he's seeking to conform our minds according to the standards of the world and to try to get us within ourselves to justify whatever situation we're placed with. And in the context of our lesson this morning, into lying, into deceiving, into not being completely honest and transparent whenever it comes to situations in life. We understand concerning Satan that he is a deceiver. In fact, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 through 11 identifies that he is able to deceive the entire world. In all of this, good people, his deception leads mankind away from God. And the Bible identifies for us that you and I are engaged in a spiritual warfare against Satan. He is the powers that be, that are here in this world, that are working against us. And in all of this, we need to arm ourselves with the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. In these things, the Bible tells us that Satan is indeed a liar. John chapter 8 and verse 44. He is the father of lies. And good people, whenever we explore the Scripture, you and I certainly know that this is indeed the case. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 and verse 22. He lied to Eve and also unto Adam. And as a result of his lying to them, they bought into the lies, they bought into his deception, into his ungodliness, and it led them away from God. And Satan is seeking to do the very same with you and me today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Note the context. It's not that he is a roaring lion, but he is as a roaring lion. Good people, what do we think in regard to a roaring lion? A lion is vicious. A lion is out to attack. And this is the picture that God gives us concerning Satan, is that he is angry. Why is he angry? He's angry because of those that he does not have, that God does have in his court, in his favor, who are members of his church, who are of his spiritual family. And for that reason, Satan is working diligently around the clock to destroy us, to ruin the relationship that we have with God. Many have lied, the Bible identifies for us. The Pharisees, in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 44, they were liars as Jesus dealt with them, and He says that you are of your father, the devil. We also understand concerning the Cretans in Titus chapter 2, or Titus chapter 1 and verse 12. These people were rebuked sharply. For what reason were these people rebuked? Why did Paul tell Titus to rebuke them? Because of the lies that they had been engaged in the course of their life. But then also we understand Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. They had sold a possession of land, and in selling the possession of the land, that came unto the apostles and laid a portion at the apostles' feet. And yet at the same time, they presented it as if they had laid everything that they had gained as a result of that sale at the apostles' feet. And God identified through these men that God knew that that they were lying, not only unto the apostles, but in like figure, they're lying to God. And in all of this, what was the end? What was the result of this? Good people, they were struck dead for their lying. Many continue to lie even today. Government officials, we are in an election year. And I have heard, as I know, and I trust that you have, campaign promises. And if you're like me, you're probably sick and tired of all these campaign promises, whether you're the Democrat or the Republican. It's on both sides. It's in every party. They will make promises, and then whenever they are elected to the office, and oftentimes even before they win the nomination, even before they are given the office, we find is that they will not follow through with their campaign promises. They will lie to us. They are not truly serving in the way in which God had established them. But also we realize is that people of the world, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22, why do people of the world lie? They lie in an attempt to get ahead of others. And it's an ongoing process. It's a vicious cycle that is there. But also what saddens me most is that members of the body of Christ will lie. Under what reason do these people lie? Good people, they lie to cover their tracks. They lie to make themselves look better. They lie to present themselves or maybe a situation that they're involved in to make it look as if everything's okay and to cover the things that maybe they're involved in that they know, that they know would not be pleasing and acceptable to God, that they know that the Lord's church would frown upon. But also we understand is that sometimes they lie, as was the case in the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, to gain fortune and sometimes even fame or notoriety. Good people, we learn from what Paul taught in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, is that money is indeed the root of all evil. In all of this, we need to realize the way in which God looks at lies. What type of lies do people participate in? There are the big, fat, juicy lies. And that I mean is that they will just get so wrapped up in what it is that they're saying. And you can listen to them and you can just tell that what they are saying, there's no way under the sun that there could be hardly any truth, if any truth at all, to it. And then also we have the little white lies. You know, those that aren't so bad. Everybody tells them. And then there's big, bold-faced lies to where they'll stand and they'll believe it themselves almost. And then they'll do everything that they can to convince us that it's the truth. Good people, the Bible identifies for us that a lie is a lie. It doesn't matter if it's the big, fat, juicy lie, the little white lie, or the big bold face, or whatever we want to call it. A lie is a lie in the sight of God. Sin is sin according to the standards of which God, our God, has laid down for us. Lying is sin no matter how you want to say it. In all of this, those who lie belong to Satan. It's the same as in John chapter 8 and verse 44. They belong unto Satan. He is their father. They are his children. And also, those who lie, they must understand that someday they will stand before the Almighty God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. There will be that day when we will each stand before the Almighty God, our Creator. And in that day, we will give an account of our life. Everything that we have said, everything that we have done, every aspect of our life will be opened up in that day as we stand in the presence of our Creator. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Good people, in that day, many are shocked. Many are terrified whenever they understand, as the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, that every secret of man will be revealed in that day. Lying. so many people deceive themselves by participating in the sin of lying. And in that day, God says that even those things will be brought forth. We will be eternally punished if we participate in sin. And good people, in the context of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, He says, all who lie will find their place in the lake of fire. They will be eternally separated from God. They will be punished without end in eternity, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but there shall be no escape from that, because it is indeed eternal. Today, as we conclude with our lesson, I want us to be honest with ourselves about lying first and foremost, and to realize that God wants us to be honest about dishonesty. And God wants us to be honest about everything in life, to do all that we can to be transparent, to do all that we can to make certain that our words are indeed truth, our yes, yes, and our no, no. Everything that we say is indeed the truth that will be pleasing and acceptable to our God. But also, as we conclude, I want you to be honest with yourself about where you stand with God. Are you a New Testament Christian? Have you confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, the Bible tells us that you are lost. But you know, Jesus Christ gave His life in order for you, in order for every soul to have an opportunity to have sin forgiven. And in giving His life, then God gives us an opportunity each day that we're here. More specifically, as we've assembled together today, what an opportunity it would be for you, if you're outside of the body, to come forward, to confess Christ, and to surrender yourself to be baptized. If you're here today, and maybe you're a member of the church, but you've fallen by the wayside, and maybe you're here and you stand in need of the prayers of the church, maybe you've been involved in deception and lying, or maybe it's something else.